Turn over to the book of Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 26. Thank you for that special. It was a blessing. We do have a mighty God, and He is unchangeable. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So amen. Well, I hope you had a good week. Glad you're in church this morning. And again, looking for another good week this week. So, well, praise the Lord. Go ahead and let's look at Matthew 26 together. We'll look at a couple of verses and then pray. Matthew 26, jump down to the end of the chapter, verse 36, or middle of the chapter, I should say, verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. Just remember the story of Jesus. He's on his way to Gethsemane with his disciples. I want you to notice what happens here now. Matthew 26, verse 36, then cometh. Just remember, would you mind? Let's read responsibly this morning, verses 36 through 46. There's 10 verses. I'll read a verse, you read a verse. That way we can stay together and get the story in our minds. Matthew 26, verse 36 says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder together. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the... Together, verse 46. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Family, I want to talk to you a little bit from really one verse this morning, and it's actually verse number 41. If you'll look at it again, it says in verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Let's go ahead and read the phrase I want to talk about the next one. Let's read the out loud together. The last phrase, verse 41. You ready? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to talk to you for just a moment this morning. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So let's go ahead and start with prayer. Father, we again come to you and again ask your blessing on the bread that we're about to partake, the spiritual meat. And when you said man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lord, we're asking that as we partake this morning, that you would speak to us and help us and feed us. And Lord, this area of the flesh and the spirit, Lord, again, would you again bring it back to mind? Lord, just realize it's a daily thing. Lord, help us now. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can you see the storyline of what's going on here? Jesus just gets done doing the Passover. After he gets done with the Passover, he institutes the Lord's Supper. It's at the Lord's Supper that Peter says, you know, I'll never deny you. Jesus said, well, this tonight you will. And you can see them walking to the garden. Jesus gets to the garden. He leaves eight of his disciples at the beginning. I'm guessing the entrance of the garden. He leaves eight of them because it says when he gets to the garden, he leaves the disciples, which was eight of them. Obviously, Judas is not with them. There's 12 disciples. So then the other three, Peter, James, and John, go with Jesus. And Jesus goes a little farther and he looks to Peter, James, and John and says, now listen, I want you to watch and pray. This account is in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And he says, I want you to watch and watch with me. And the Bible says Jesus went a stone's cast from them. So Jesus goes a little farther. And Jesus, this is the area of the scripture where in the book of Luke, it says that he sweat as it was great drops of blood because of the agony that he was going through, knowing that he was going to go to the cross. Then Jesus goes back to those disciples after 1 hour. He comes back to Peter and he says, Peter, they found him sleeping. They were having a church service. They found him sleeping and he says, Peter, could you not watch me 1 hour? And then Jesus makes the statement that, that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is actually mentioned in Matthew and Mark, not Luke, but Matthew and Mark. Jesus goes back again, says he prays the same words, Father, if your will, let this cup pass from me. If not, Lord, thy will be done. He comes back again and he sees the disciples and they're asleep a second time. All righty. Church service went a little long. And so he says, hey, fellas, actually the second time he doesn't even wake them up. He just lets them sleep. And so then Jesus goes and prays again a third time, talks to the Father. And when he gets done now, obviously the Pharisees has already sent this group to come to apprehend him. He wakes them up. And here's how he wakes them up. Sleep on now. Go ahead, sleep. I mean, that doesn't make, he wakes them up. Sleep on. I mean, it's almost like a reproof of saying, hey, listen, dinglings, wake up. And so they wake up and they go with him. And as they come to the other disciples, this group is here to apprehend Jesus Christ. And of course, that story is just amazing in itself. You know, when they come up to him, Jesus speaks the word, they fall backwards. I mean, just the whole storyline of all that's very, very interesting as far as the Son of God. But this morning, I want to just key on this one segment of the story where Jesus comes to the disciples and he makes the statement. He says, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, church family, the disciples were Christians. They were believers. They were believers in Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning, you're on your way to heaven. This is talking to you this morning. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, I want you to think about the word spirit and flesh here because it's used differently, okay? You'll notice that it's a little S, not a big S. You'll notice that the word spirit here, we often refer to the spirit as being the eternal soul that a person has, that our spirit is going to be with God forever and ever in heaven. Those terms are sometimes interchangeable. But in this particular case, this word spirit, because of the way it is used, is talking about the mental disposition of a person. When he talks about the spirit indeed is willing, it's the willingness or the want to inside of a person. Now, Shoshone, we've had many, you've been here a long time, many of you have, and you have sat through many services and the Holy Spirit of God, capital S, spoke to your heart. You came forward during a service, during an invitation time, because your spirit was willing. Now, I'm not talking about willing to come forward. I'm talking about willing to make a decision on what God spoke to your heart about during a particular church. The spirit, the mental disposition, the desire inside of me was a want-to. That want-to could have been, I want to read through my Bible. Or I want to read Scripture daily. That want-to could have been, I want to tell more people about Jesus Christ by just passing out a gospel tract. Your want-to, the spirit indeed is willing, could have been, I'm going to spend X amount of time in prayer. Your spirit indeed is willing, could have been, I'm going to do better toward my marital relationship with my wife or husband. Your spirit indeed and willing could have been the confession of a sin. But it was a something that mentally said, yes, I want to do that. And Jesus knew that when the disciples, Peter, James, and John were there, that they were not purposely not praying. He knew that they were not purposely not doing what Jesus wished and wanted by praying and watching with him. Because in their spirit, in their mental disposition, they were saying the right words and they meant those words. But what they did not realize is that there was a flesh that was connected to the mental disposition. It's called our flesh. Now, think for just a moment now. The word flesh. The word flesh is often referred to as the body. We refer to it the skin or the flesh that we have on ours is the flesh. This particular situation, or wording, is talking about, in a spiritual sense, the flesh is weak. In other words, what our flesh enjoys, what our flesh wants to do, it's weak. Now, in this case, it's real simple because he was talking about sleep. All right, now here's where they are. Peter, James, and John, they're here. Jesus is a stone cast away. Jesus leaves and says, listen, I need you to watch with me. Now, by the way, Jesus, because he was God, knew what was coming about to happen. He knew he was going to go to the cross, that he would take all the agonies of hell for you and I. Everything that we would have to experience in hell, I believe with all my heart that Jesus took on the cross. And Jesus took that because somebody had to pay the price on sin, and he was the only sacrifice because he had never sinned. All right? You couldn't die for me, I couldn't die for you because we're sinners. Jesus could die for everybody because he had never sinned. Jesus became a man. So anyway, so Jesus is talking to the Peter, James, and Johnson. Listen, I just need you to pray with me. I need you to agonize me. I need you to watch. I need you to talk to the Father that he would again help me through this. Now, here they are sleeping, and Jesus makes a statement. Your mental disposition was, yes, I will do it. But your physical, your fleshly position was, no, I don't want to do that. Now, we understand that according to Romans chapter number 7, and again, we can go to all the passages this morning, and we'll go maybe to a couple of them. But in Romans 7, what did Paul say? He says, there's a war going on inside of me. He says, the things I should do, I don't do. The things I shouldn't do, I do. He says, is it in the inner man that I'm going through this war? Oh, wretched man that I am. Have you been there before? How wicked I am. How sinful I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? What death? Wherefore is by sin. Wherefore as one man, that's Adam, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. All right, are you with me this morning? Say amen.
Follow me now this morning. I want you to think about that we're going through what we're going through because of sin. I'm talking about the temptations that we deal with in our life. Now, if you're here this morning and you think it's okay to sin, I want to tell you something. You're either not saved or you are really backslidden. If you think that the things that you're doing, that you know you're doing, that nobody else maybe knows that you're doing except for you and God, that it's not a big deal, you're either not saved or you are really backslidden. Church family, the Apostle Paul, who gave us 13 letters of the New Testament, the writer that God used, he was still a sinner. In fact, he called himself the chief of sinners. You know why? Because he went through the same struggles you and I are going through. You know, we see each other at church and you might think, boy, that's a really good Christian. No, they're just a really good looking sinner. You say, boy, that person over there, you know, they've got it all together. No, they don't have it all together because they have the same sinful flesh you have. And I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what church you go to. You know, a person comes to here, and sometimes a person here goes visit another church, and man, that's the best church in the world. No, the best church in the world still has sinners there. And everybody is dealing with the same thing, but I want to tell you something. There are some Christians that really take serious this idea of the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, and then there are other Christians, oh, yeah, that's true. Church family, it is more than true. It's what we deal with on a regular basis in our life, that my mental position, my desire, my want-to is to please God. My want-to is to read the Bible. My want-to is to attend church faithfully. My want-to is to know the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of me, and He leads and directs me, and I hear that still small voice. There's a want-to for that. There's a want-to that God would have control of my life and my spouse's life and my children's life. There's a want-to that God would have gained control of my finances and that God's blessings would be able... There's a want-to. Spirit indeed is willing. Church, I look across the auditorium this morning and I look at the people who are here this morning and I look at it that you are not novices and you are not people who do not know what God's will is. Because the general will of God is written in the Word of God. Oh, there's specifics we don't know. Okay, it doesn't tell you in the Bible maybe what college you're supposed to go to when you graduate. The Bible doesn't tell you specifically who you're supposed to marry. Their name is not maybe mentioned there. But the general will of God is spelled out. And so it's not a matter of that the people that are here this morning, you do not have a mental position, disposition of understanding and a want to do what God's Word says in your life. But church family, you face the same problem that Peter, who wrote parts, two books of the New Testament, James and John, the inner circle of God that got to see Jesus transfigured, who was the God-man, who got to see some miracles. The rest, we're talking about the three upper ones, closer ones. And they still had flesh that overwhelmed and won against their spirit. So this morning, I want to just talk to you about the disciples for just a moment. I want you to think about this. And church family, I know some of I can't tell you anything new. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, okay? But it would be a very good reminder of why you're not doing the best that you possibly can for Christ. Listen to me, church family. I know there's nobody perfect here, but we ought to live the Christian life as God said, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:42. The idea of perfection is not sinlessness. The idea of perfection is completeness. And if you're going to be complete as a Christian, you cannot let this one little area of your life stay there. Remember what Lot said when he was coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, hey, listen, angel, we don't want to go up to the mountains. Would you let us go over to the city of Zoar? And here's what he said. Is it not a little one? You know, it's really interesting. The word Zoar in the Hebrew means little one. It was named after exactly what it was. It was a small city. And you know, he ended up in Zoar. And when he got to Zoar, guess what? He got afraid. You know where he went? He went to the mountain. You know why I went to the mountain? Because that's where God told him to go the first time. It was just a small city. It's just a little one. I don't know what area of your life that the Holy Spirit of God would pinpoint and tell you with that still small voice and say, hey, listen, I want you better in this area. I don't want you doing this in your area. And I'm just trying to tell you that mentally, you know, your spirit is willing, but our flesh is so weak. And so what do I need to do? I need to make sure my flesh doesn't win. Now, a couple things from this story I want you to see this morning. First thing I want you to see is, this morning, I want you to think about this. Now, again, let me relate it to the story if you don't mind, but I want to tell you where I'm going here. In Galatians 5, verse 16, you know the verse, okay? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall what? Not fulfill, Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can I tell you the same thing with the disciples, the same thing is true with us. If you are not, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can I tell you how you don't let the flesh win? You walk in the spirit. You do the opposite of what the flesh wants you to do. You can't get around the fact that you are going to do what you put in. So what I've got to do is this. I've got to walk in the spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if I'm not going to let the flesh have the best of me because I still have sinful flesh, mentally, yes, I want to do what's right. I want to live what's right. Then you have to strengthen the spirit, not the flesh. Walk in the spirit. Hold on, how do I walk in the spirit? I spend time in the Word of God. How do I walk in the spirit? I spend time in prayer. I have my devotions. I put God first in place in my life. The spirit becomes stronger. I told you the story here. I was telling to the ladies about the fellow with the two dogs. Years ago, I told that story and I got in trouble, and the prison chaplain called me and said, "We don't want you telling that story." I was at the jail, I think, when that happened. They said you offended the people in jail by that story, and you cannot tell that story anymore. I said, "Well, believe me, I got enough stories in the Bible. I don't need that story." But since you all are not in jail yet, I'm going to tell the story. Right. An old Indian had two dogs. He had one white dog, one black dog. The old Indian would take those two dogs every Saturday night, and he'd let the other Indians gamble, and they would bet which dog would win because they'd have dog fights. Every Saturday night, the owner of the dog would win. If he bet on black dog would win. Bet on white dog, the next week, the white dog would win. He always knew which dog was going to win. So finally, the Indians came to him and said, "Hey, listen, how do you know which dog's going to win?" He said, "Ugh, that's easy. Me want black dog to win. I feed black dog all week long. Starve white dog." The next week he'd come back. He said, "Listen, if I want the white dog to win, I feed white dog all week long. Starve black dog." And church, the Christian life is no different. Ugh, that's easy. The reason I do fleshly things is because I feed my flesh and I don't feed my spirit. It's real, real simple. I have a war going on inside according to Galatians 5, verse number 16. The lust of my flesh and the spirit of God. But the spirit of God is what helps my spirit win. In other words, my mental disposition. You know, we're living in a very humanistic society. You know what the word humanism means? The word humanism means man, little m, man is God, little g. That's humanism. Man is God. So here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to live a life of, "I think I can, I think I can, I think I can." We're trying to live a life that man is powerful or man has the ability. Just remember, the only ability we have is through the Spirit of God. Just remember, listen, do you remember what Jesus said? Now you finish the verse. "Without me, ye, nothing." So in other words, if my spirit indeed is willing, "God, I want to live for you. I want to please you. I want to serve you. But my flesh is weak. The only way to overcome the flesh is to walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." How do I walk in the spirit? I spend time in the Word of God. I spend time in prayer. It's more, hey, listen, I'm glad you came to church this morning. God bless you for coming. But do you understand that walking in the Spirit is not Sundays only? There's some of you in here, you go to the public school. Your light is not going to shine in the public school if you're not having a walk with God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And by the way, you have an opportunity that many people never get if they're a Christian, and that's to be in a public school and make a difference. Our public school system is training people to go to hell. The Bible's not the Word of God. Jesus is not the Son of God. Those are old-fashioned principles. We don't live by that anymore. Johnny had two fathers, and Betty has two mothers, and they're putting all of this homosexual, abortion, all the things that are contrary to the Word of God, they are causing, from the youngest age up, to believe that that's normal. That's not normal. That's ungodly. So guess what? You could be in the public school and make a difference for Christ if you walked in the Spirit and not the flesh. You say, "Pastor, I want to do that, but man, when I'm with that other crowd, it's just hard to take a stand and make a difference." Hey, Jesus knew that. That's why he said the only reason you're not making a spiritual decision and keeping a spiritual decision is because your flesh is winning. How do I get the flesh not to win? Walk in the Spirit. So the first thing he tells to the disciples is simply this. I want you to pray. Church family, do you understand that praying is a spiritual thing? Think about it, church family. Their flesh is weak. They want to go to sleep. Jesus said, I want you to do a spiritual thing in order to be able to combat the fleshly thing. I want you to pray. How do I make sure I live the Christian life like I'm supposed to? I do spiritual things. That's how. Number two, think about this. I need you to turn to this one if you don't mind. It's the same story, but I want to look at Luke chapter 22, a different account. Or a little more, I'm sorry, more to the same account. Excuse me. Luke chapter 22. In Luke 22, look toward the end here. Let's jump down to verse number. Let's pick it up verse 45. I just want to read two verses with you. Verse 45. Luke 22, verse 45. If you're following along, say amen. If you agree with what the Bible says, say amen. Amen. Verse 45. And when he, Jesus, arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them what? Now, Tricia, I want you to notice what Jesus says in this account. Verse 46. And Jesus said unto them, why sleep ye? I want you to say the next three words. Next three words. Ready? Together? Lest ye enter into what? Now, here's what I find interesting. Jesus' response, remember now, Jesus goes away and pray, he comes back, he finds them sleeping. Did you notice what Jesus told him to do? He said, get up. Not only wake up, wake up was part of it. He said, get up, rise. He said, get up. Just remember, you know what? If you're going to have victory over your flesh, and the flesh is weak, if you're going to get victory over the flesh, first of all, you have to walk in the script. Number two, you have to avoid temptation. You know what Jesus was trying to tell those disciples? Hey, listen. You wouldn't fall asleep if you'd stop using that rock as a pillow. You wouldn't fall asleep if you weren't laying down. This morning, I don't normally sleep. I sleep like a log. I mean, when I go to bed, I sleep. This last night, I did not. And so, 2 o'clock in the morning, woke up. And I got up. And I walk. And the reason I walk is because I know if I sit down on the couch, I'm just going to end up falling right back to sleep. He said, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're supposed to be sleeping, and just for whatever reason. And you know, some Christians, you do that, you do the opposite principle when it's time for you to get up. You get up at 7 o'clock, some of you at 6 o'clock. I know, and we have hard workers in our church. I'm not belittling you this morning. But some of you, your time that you set aside for your devotion time, you provide for you to go to sleep because you want to have your devotions while laying in bed. Hey, I want to tell you something. Now, I hate to be biased, but my kids are the most spiritual kids in this church. I want to tell you why. Because my kids have their prayer time while they're sleeping. I mean, while they're laying down. I mean, how many times I've walked in the kids' room and said, hey, listen, it's time to get up. What are you doing? Oh, we're praying. And you know what? That's how a lot of Christians, you set yourself up for failure because you don't avoid the temptation that's happening in your life. And you wonder why the flesh won. The flesh won because you didn't avoid the temptation. And it's more than just prayer time. When the disciples were laying there and Jesus had to say, hey, if you're going to pray, why don't you stand up? Your flesh is weak because you're comfortable. But your family, you can look at that in every area of your life. Where you're failing as a Christian is usually where you're providing for the flesh. I just don't understand why I'm watching so much television. Okay, let's shake your faith. Get rid of the television. If that's where you're weak at, and that's where you're providing for, get rid of it. You know, it's funny. You know, there's some of you in here, you're so good with diets. It's a no-brainer that if I'm on a diet, I get the sweets out of the house. It's a no-brainer. I'm not going to leave. If my pop is Mountain Dew or Coke or whatever it is, I'm going to make sure all that's out before I start. That's a no-brainer. But how come is it when it comes to our Christian life, things that you're dealing with in your life that the Spirit indeed is willing. I know I shouldn't do this, but the flesh is weak. Then don't provide so the flesh can get you to mess up. Get rid of whatever it is. Disciples, get up. If you weren't comfortable, you would not be yielding to the flesh. So, if I'm going to make sure the Spirit indeed and willing, the flesh is weak, I need number one, I need to, first of all, walk in the Spirit. Number two, I must avoid the temptation. Romans 13:14. He said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hey, listen, all of us are different. All of our appetites are different. I know you've heard me say that thing. There's things that you like to eat physically, things that I like to eat physically, but our appetites are different. I have no desire to smoke. I have no desire to drink. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never drank any alcohol. There is zero desire for that. But if you've got saved later in life, or maybe you got saved and you had a backslidden era of your life, you at least understand what that cigarette tastes like, or you at least understand what alcohol tastes like. You already have a semi-appetite, and maybe it's not affecting you in a great way, but you at least know what the appetite tastes like. So can I tell you something? If you already have an appetite for that, don't provide for that. Don't hang around the lost world at the job site while they're having lunch and they all got their six pack of beer out. Why stick around something like that if you already know what that tastes like? You know, church family, can I just tell you too? You know, I know you're trying to keep your kids away. And by the way, I have had people come to me and say, Pastor, I was raised in a Christian home. When mom wasn't around, I took a drink of a beer. And he said, that one beer caused me to try it again and again and again. It really messed me up. This is an adult that told me this. Listen, young people, you ought to be thankful that you've got a mom and dad that's keeping you away from the appetite. You think your parents are just old-fashioned because they're trying to keep you away from, you know, looking at things that are not good for you, or trying to keep you away from alcohol or whatever it might be, bad music, whatever it might be. Hey, can I tell you something? If you never get an appetite, you don't have a want in your mind. I'd like to try that again. If you've never tried it the first time, you don't have a want for it the second time. Parents, you're doing the right thing. You know, this thing of, well, I want my kids to grow up and make their own decisions. Just, I mean, that is the devil. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I don't know if I ever preached the message again, but there's things that, as far as I think it's 5 or 6 T's that I call it, that we're supposed to do for our children. All right? We're supposed to train them. That means to narrow. We're supposed to talk to them. That means to answer. These are T's in the Bible. We're supposed to talk, Book of Deuteronomy. We're supposed to talk to him. That means to answer. We're supposed to teach. That means to point. We're supposed to tell. That means to command. You're supposed to constitute your own house. That means command. I'm supposed to touch. There's a certain amount of touch that you should have between your children. And I'm supposed to spend time with them. This thing of let my kids grow up and do whatever they want? Training means to narrow. Not training means to have an open gate. Do whatever you want. Training means, no, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're going to do. You're going to get up at a certain hour. You're going to have responsibility. You are going to go to school. Church, hear me out. As far as a parent, I want my kids to read their Bible, but I don't sit over the top of them and make them read their Bible. I am going to have family altar. They are going to do things like that. But training means I'm going to narrow them. This is the direction we're going with this thing. This is not whatever you want to do. Church, hear me out. Listen to what I'm going to say next. This is really, really important. We've got several of our kids that are getting messed up because of the internet. You think that you have everything under control at your house because you have all the passwords, so do your children. Not my kid. I'm just trying to tell you, you better wake up. If you've got teenagers at home, finding out what they're doing and where they're at, and this thing of giving them electronics, they can go to McDonald's and go anywhere they want through wireless internet. Do you understand? We have to make sure that we don't provide for the flesh. Listen to me, young people. Some of you are 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 years old. You are not a child. Listen to me. If you are 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 and you're still at home, your children should not have to babysit you. They should not have to tell you everything to do. You've been in church long enough. You have grown long enough. You know what the problem is? Your spirit indeed is willing. I know I should do that. I've been taught that. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what God wants for my life. But your flesh is weak. But so is mine. So I've got to do something to keep my flesh from causing my mental disposition of what I know is right not to happen. How do I do that? I spend time in the Word of God. I walk in the Spirit. How do I do that? I avoid temptation. Whatever my temptation is, I go the other direction. Last of all, and I'm done. I want you to turn to this one too, if you don't mind. Turn to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 with me. Paul again writing, talks about the spirit and flesh. Romans chapter 8, jump down to verse number 5. Romans 8, verse number 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind. The key word is mind. That means to think. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Second phrase is understood, the word mind. Doesn't mention if it's understood.
But they that are after the Spirit do mind. I know do mind's not there, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So verse number 5 again. For they that are after the flesh do mind, do think about things that are fleshly. They that are after the Spirit do mind or think about things that are spiritual. For to be carnally, the word carnally actually means flesh. For to be carnally minded is what? All right, not just physical death, but spiritual. You're going to die as a Christian if you keep feeding your flesh through your mind. But to be spiritually minded is what? So in other words, the good life is one who has a spiritual mind. A bad life is a person who has a fleshly mind. Look what he says next, all right? He goes on to say, verse number 7, because the carnal, the word carnal means flesh, because the carnal mind is enmity, the word enmity means enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now I want you to read verse 8 out loud with me. Verse number 8, ready? So then they that are in the flesh... Peter, James, and John, what are you doing? I asked you to watch with me, not sleep. The spirit, your mental disposition, your desire, your want to, is willing. But your flesh is weak. Disciples of Christ, Christians, believers, you can say with your mouth all you want, I want to please God. But you cannot please God if you're in the flesh. So how do I make sure my flesh doesn't win that war? Number one, I walk in the Spirit. Number two, I avoid temptation. And number three, I think Spirit, not flesh. In other words, the things that are going over in my mind, I'll be thinking about. Now, I don't need you to turn back to the passage, but you know, I want to ask you to see if you're listening a moment ago. When Jesus came back after he was done praying on that first time, which of the three disciples did Jesus speak to? Peter, right? Peter, could you not watch me 1 hour? That's your family. I don't need you to turn to it. You can. But in the passage we just read, prior to them coming to Gethsemane, guess what disciple Jesus was talking to when he said, hey, you're going to deny me thrice before the cock crows. Which disciple was it? Remember what Peter's response was? I will go to death with you. I'm not going to deny you. You know what Peter should have been doing when Jesus asked him to be praying? He should have been thinking spirit, not thinking flesh. Because spirit thinking would have been, Jesus said, tonight I'm going to deny him. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Word of God. Jesus told me I'm going to deny him. He should have been thinking spiritual, not death. He should have been thinking spirit, not flesh. He should have been thinking, hey, listen, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to deny him. Please help me not. He should have been thinking spirit. He should have been thinking just a few verses prior. He should have been thinking about what Jesus had just got done telling him. But church family, listen to me this morning. Remember what Philippians chapter 4, in Sunday school, I think it was verse 6 and 7 that we quoted. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, verse number 7, that the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You know what verse number 8 says? That's what it says. In verse number 8, it says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Hey, listen, I have the most rotten flesh in this room. When you think about Apostle Paul saying, I'm the chief of sinners, I think we all can say that. But man, I'm telling you what, you talk about the fight in the Christian life, the only way you can get the victory, walk in the Spirit, avoid temptation, think spiritual. Don't think fleshly. Hey, remember what Paul told the Romans? I'm almost done. Say, man, I'm almost done. I am. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Think about verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? And then what does that do? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to do the will of God for your life? You're going to renew your mind. You know how you renew your mind? You mind spiritual things. You don't mind fleshly things. So listen to me. If you're spending hours and hours in front of a television, you're spending hours and hours in front of the internet, you're spending hours and hours and putting on all these fleshly things, it is no wonder your flesh is weak and is getting the best of you. But pastor, I want to serve God. I want to have a good marriage. I want to raise good children. I want to be pleasing to God. Oh, your spirit can be willing. But you're going to be just like Peter, James, and John. You know why? Because the flesh is weak. So how do I combat the flesh? I've got to walk in the Spirit. I've got to avoid temptation. And I have to think Spirit, not think flesh. Church family, we're all facing the same problem. Oh, Pastor, I'm facing the devil. Yeah, that's true. Pastor, I'm facing the world. That's true. But you know who I think your biggest enemy is? You. It's the stinking flesh. Hey, I want to tell you something. They sang a few moments ago. I know they didn't sing this exact song, but heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. You know why? Because I don't have to have to deal with this flesh anymore. But until then, I do. My flesh is weak. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You're capable of doing the same junk that a lost person does. You know why? Because you still have your sin nature. So God, the one thing I have that the lost doesn't have is I got a Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me, and I can make sure that my flesh doesn't win because I have the Spirit inside of me. Christian, this morning, if you're saved this morning, what we're talking about is what you're dealing with every day of your life. You ought to say today, God, help me in these areas. Help me to walk in the Spirit. Help me to avoid temptation. Help me to think spiritual. God, help me in these areas. Because it's a battle every day of your life. I preached on this a few weeks ago, and I'm done. I am done now. That's how you tell a person getting old. I'm going to be done. We should just be honest. I'll be done in 6 hours, okay? If I get done early, you'll be happy. What messes us up is this. We all have flesh, okay? Temptation plus opportunity equals sin. What I want to do is, I don't want to wait for the opportunity. I don't want to wait for the temptation. I want to make sure that I'm walking in the Spirit, not providing for my flesh and thinking spiritual things so I don't have to deal with the temptation and so that I don't have the opportunity so that I don't sin. Get several steps ahead of your fall. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment this morning?